The first reading, a very short parable, has actually become one of my very favorites of all of the teachings of Jesus. And I think it especially comes alive when it is paired with the text about love and fear, the last verse of the reading from 1 John. I believe there's great wisdom here. You can apply it to yourselves, to individuals. You can apply this lesson this morning to families. And I believe you can apply it to congregations. And this morning I'm going to focus a little bit more on a congregational application, but because it's parable and because I'll be using metaphor, it can go in any number of directions. God's word is indeed rich. Shall we pray? Lord God, that we might hear what you have for us to hear, even though it is always imperfect how it is explained or preached, we know that it is within your power to bring it to life, and we pray that this will be so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at this again, especially that which is highlighted. The evil spirit, when it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. I did that highlight because I think that's the key point. Reading it this way, rather than blaming the evil spirit for a home invasion, some of the responsibility is placed on the homeowner who left the house empty. A perverse kind of hospitality. That's the pivotal mistake. That is why there is room for the wicked spirits to move right in. That's the way I read it. Here's another slide. I'm hoping that some person or persons are going to be brave enough to know, shout out exactly where this came from. Recognize that? Emily, I saw you smile, and that was from? Yeah, one of the songs that the youth sang at convention, brought back and sang for us. That slide was up on the screen, and my pastoral antenna just went twang. The moment I saw that, I thought, that's going in a sermon, and I know where it's going to fit, and here we are today. Fear runs deep, spreading like a virus. And I said I'd be using metaphor, so we have parable, and the metaphor is going to pick up on the idea of virus. That was on July 14, that song and that slide. And so I want to now, I'd like to develop that metaphor first a little bit for a few minutes, and I think that the idea of a virus is going to give us a bridge between the parable from Matthew and the truth that is in 1 John. Let's see how that goes. Fear runs deep like a virus. And so let's think first about what we know about healthy cells in our body. And I suppose I should step aside and give you the old disclaimer of how little I know. I'm probably going to be making up all kinds of things about medicine and viruses and so forth, but I'm close enough to the truth that it sort of works, at least as metaphor. So bear with me in this. These are my understandings, at least. And that is that basically, when we think about the cells in our bodies, DNA is the operating system, which provides the cells with their instructions on their basic task, which is to cooperate with other cells so the host body stays in balance and functioning. So I just randomly said that we have cells in our knees, whatever the knee cells are. And they know what to do and what not to do. The cells know when to stop and how to fit in. So we just had a granddaughter that was born in July. Right now her knees are about that big around, and they're going to keep growing and growing and growing, and then they're going to stop because the DNA says stop. In order for you to function in a collaborative way with the other cells so that the result is health, you cannot just grow indefinitely, or it would say in Anna's obituary, she died of big knees. 500-pound knees because they just kept growing and growing. But cells don't do that. Isn't that remarkable that they know when to stop and how to fit in? And generally we have healthy cells, but viruses, on the other hand, multiply mindlessly. They infiltrate the host. They spread and keep spreading. To do so, a virus takes over the host cell's DNA machinery and it turns the cell into a virus factory for itself. And the purpose of that virus factory is, in one sense, no purpose at all. A virus doesn't have any meaningful intent. Its only purpose is to spread, to turn out more of its kind. And when that goes far enough, we call that an infection. Now, back, bringing in, remembering the lesson of the parable, now we consider the complicity of the host, the cooperation of the host. As long as the host cells are receptive, the infection will spread. In fact, the virus depends on the cells making room, allowing the virus to invade. And ultimately, the host dies if this goes on forever and ever, and the virus dies as well. But oh well, it has no purpose, no intention, no end game. It's not life or death or anything. Viruses just spread. And in that sense, they live to die. Now, back to the youth convention song on the slide. That said, fear is a virus. If that's a reasonable metaphor, if there was any truth in that song, and I believe there was deep truth, that means that if fear finds receptive hosts that allow fear to take over, fear becomes the DNA of the host. And doesn't that ring true? Don't we say that some people or some congregations or even some societies at some points become fear-based or fear-driven? It's like what's driving the society is, where's a threat, where's a threat, where's a threat? And people lose their capacity to be purposeful, to think. They are simply reacting constantly until any good and noble purpose for which the country existed or the congregation existed or the family existed gets subsumed, and there is simply constant reactivity. They are infected by fear. Well, back to our bodies, and we are going to get to 1 John. Fortunately, at the cellular level, God made us with a built-in system for responding to viruses. And to maintain health, we have come to call this our immune system. Here's a case where I'm really non-technical and I'm non-scientific, but I think this is fair to the general idea of immunity. Namely, the immune system functions in two ways. The primary function of the immune system is to equip cells simply to not allow the viruses to invade. Sorry, no room here. You aren't welcome. No room at the inn. This house is fully occupied with functioning in a purposeful way as it was intended. There's no capacity for invasion. It's as if the healthy cells tell the viruses, you can't get under our skin. You can't get through the membrane, the protective membrane. We refuse to host you. We simply refuse to host you. I said that there's two functions, and so I'm going to take a little aside to talk about the second one, because there's a trap here. The second function of the immune system, there is an element of seeking out and destroying the viruses, pockets of unhealth. Mainly, it's about non-cooperation. Don't let yourself get invaded. But there is this element of then going out and sort of cleaning up the system. But the problem is that the immune system can go overboard. And then that's called an autoimmune response. The body becomes so patterned to overreact, to over-rely on that, let's go out and destroy the invaders option, that it comes to the point that anything different, anything strange is seen as an enemy and as a threat, and an inflammation then ensues with the body on the counterattack all the time, aggressively overreacting to every difference, so that rather than saying, no, you can't come in, instead the focus is on, let's clean house, and that is harmful. That's a disease of its own. Now I want to go to congregations. There are congregations that rather than doing hospitality with integrity, they obsess about every threat, killing off every errant doctrine, making sure that there's no behavior in our congregation which we can't tolerate, being suspicious of anyone who is different. Threat, 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 threat. We have to have sameness. And that becomes the DNA, and that's fear-based. That's an overreaction. That's an autoimmune response. I remember a class at seminary, which was taught by the late C.J. Dick, Wilma's husband. He was the preeminent Anabaptist scholar, and he cited an example from the 1600s or late 1500s of an early Anabaptist zealot, a pastor. He wanted to be sure that error was immediately expelled from the church that he pastored. He was on the lookout. He was a walking case of autoimmunity. And in the end, said CJ, and I'll say it as I remember CJ saying it, he said, this pastor excommunicated everyone in the congregation but himself and his wife, and CJ said, and I'm not sure his wife wasn't wondering if she'd be next. That's also a sick congregation. If the focus is on a fearful obsession with threat. And so I find myself wondering about the whole practice Mennonites have practiced, maybe other denominations, of shunning as a response to sin, and I find that to be not healthy. It happens on both sides. You can find congregations where liberals are focused on destroying conservatives and vice versa. But now we come to the connection with the second text, and I think it's pretty obvious. Let's take all of that together. The parable, the metaphor, the idea of healthy immunity, and the text said, perfect love casts out fear. It doesn't destroy it, it just casts it out. A house filled with love does not have room for the demons of fear. The path to health for the body of Christ isn't in demon hunting and demonizing. Instead, the path to health is to put energy into love filling. And isn't that the phrase that Jesus used? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not first get a list of the bad guys. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And furthermore, I would suggest that love is not just good feelings and niceness. The motto of one of our recent national MCUSA conventions was, love is a verb. And remember, cells are healthy when they are purposeful. When they actively fulfill the purpose to which they were called and interact with other cells also called to that purpose, then, I'm talking physically, then it builds up the body. And in church language, this purposefulness is called missional living. It's called filling the house of the congregation, filling the life of the body with that larger purpose, which is toward the mission of God, that all may come to know and follow and accept and glorify Jesus Christ. And when the house is full of that, well, that's where the energy is going. Not what did we get wrong, or is this somehow making us less than perfect, but constantly remembering being filled with the joy of the Lord, the joy of participating in the kingdom, then there's health. An empty house, the motto of an empty house would be this: above all, try not to sin. That's hollow. That's not at all the way that I read Jesus. Make it your primary purpose to try not to sin. That was the purpose of the Pharisees. They obsessed about that. Jesus' motto was, everyone you run into, love them. Don't focus on what you don't do. When you do that, if you're living, again, let me just think figuratively about a house, if you're living in a fearful way in the house, all you do is you sort of peek out of the curtains and you look for threats and you sink down into fear, and then fear has taken over the house. House cleaning, I might say, trying not to sin, is fine as far as it goes. It's fine to have the house swept out and clean. But far more crucial, at least in this parable, was to fill the house with purposeful, missional living. And to bring in another verse, and Jesus said, fear not as you do that, for I am with you. Lives lived lovingly, purposefully, and missionally are immune to the virus of fear. Sometimes when we go through life, we're tired or we haven't been eating right or whatever, and we say, my resistance is down. I'm liable to get sick. And sometimes with congregations, as we pastors have talked to amongst each other, I found myself saying, how's your resistance in your congregation? How's your immune system? What are you full of? Where's the vibrancy? Because if it's not there, if it's just lethargy and apathy and not going about the mission of God, then in fact, the resistance is down and an infection will much more easily take over. So an application might be for a congregation such as ours to be so full of purpose, dreaming of being the kingdom, that the threats, and one of the threats, make no mistake, it's going to feel threatening when we have a leadership change in our case. The threats don't dominate our spirits, but we think, oh, look at the possibilities. Let's live for Jesus. Let's not get over-focused on that which makes us anxious. Let's get over-focused on that which fills our house, and that's love. I've known congregations that lapse into anxiety and reactivity, into blaming, hunkering down, playing defense. And I have known congregations that are filled with love, which is a verb. It is exactly in times of transition and anxiety and perceived threat that missional living becomes critical. Not just because it's the thing we're supposed to do, it's critical for health. Seek ye first the kingdom and all the rest will be added to you. So, I would ask you to hear again in closing these words in all their fullness, these beautiful words of how we are to be filled with God and God's love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Now, I won't read all of the verses. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And then, that final verse, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. My word to you would be this, and I believe deeply, I know how he will proceed, that Pastor Gary Martin will lead you in this quest. It will be a primary focus of his. My word is this, know your DNA. Why did God put a Mennonite church in Normal to fulfill his purpose? How are we best to be an outpost of the kingdom, a vibrant outpost? Know your purpose and your mission, and don't worry about those nasty demons that could terrify, and you don't worry because you're so full of love they can't get in. More threats will come knocking. There will be challenges, setbacks, even hard times. Might you remember at this time how it is that vaccinations happen? You introduce a weak form of the virus so that you become accustomed to rising to the occasion. And so I would say again, more threats will come knocking, challenges, setbacks, even hard times. That will only develop the immune system and the capacity to respond in the power of Jesus Christ even more so. The immune system will keep spiritual and relational infection from getting a foothold, and that immune system is love, which is a verb. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and keep seeking, and keep working, and keep loving your neighbor, your God, yourselves, and all the rest will be added unto you. Amen.